So just a few minutes, there's some questions and comments. Have anything? Yeah.
You would like one example for the higher training and wisdom.
Okay.
So let's say your friend says something nasty to you and you feel offended. Okay? Then to sit there and ask yourself, who is feeling offended? You ever done that? Yeah? When you're feeling really offended, somebody you like, somebody you trust calls you a name or criticizes you, and you feel so offended. Oh, how could they talk to me that way? At that moment, we feel like there's this big, solid I inside, don't we? I'm offended. You're bugging me. Okay. Who is that I that is so offended? Very interesting to sit there. Yeah. So instead of focusing on they said this and they said that and na na na, focus on who is it who's offended. See if you can find the person who you think you are. See if you can find the person who's offended. Okay. If you can't find the person who's offended, you can't be offended anymore. And the mind's peaceful. Okay? It's kind of a simple example, but it gives you some idea. Other questions or comments? Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Abbey?
Okay. Yeah, a little bit about the Abbey. Okay, with pleasure I will tell you about the Abbey. The situation for Western monastics in the Tibetan tradition has been difficult in the sense that the Tibetans are a refugee community and they're focused on restoring their own monasteries. So those of us who are Westerners who are ordained, often we don't have a place to live or a place to train. And our masters can't really set it up for that for us because they're busy taking care of their own community. So I've been ordained 29 years now. And I thought maybe I should try and do something to remedy this difficulty for the future generations of Western monastics. And so Shravasti Abbey was founded with that kind of spirit. We were able to get some land, 240 acres, in eastern Washington state. It's very close to the Idaho border. And it's beautiful land. You probably saw in the pictures, kind of rolling hills, incredible vistas. It came with a house, but we also needed to remodel the downstairs of the house. We changed the garage into a meditation hall. We have room. There's about 5 of us who live there now. When we have programs, we can have maybe 14 guests or 15 guests, but we just, enough of people can't. But we just can't have any more than that because we don't have the space and we don't have the septic system, which is real important. So we need to build. Yeah, we want to create some more buildings so that we have space so that people who are interested in monastic life can come and train, and where also we can have retreats and guests can come and do retreats and have the experience of living in a monastic community. Because what I see in America for lay people is there's two very extreme situations. One is there's the city dharma center. So you have your, you know, extremely busy city life with your calendar, which is way too full. I'm sure you know all about that. And then you try and get over to the Dharma Center once a week. Okay? So there's that scenario available. Then there's the other scenario of you take a week off of work and you go into a retreat center and somebody cooks for you, somebody cleans for you, and you pay some money, and then all you do is your Dharma practice. Okay, so which is another very extreme situation. What we're trying to set up at the Abbey through monastic life is a daily situation where we have regular meditation times and study and teaching times, but we also work together. Okay? And we also talk and we interrelate and we interact. And so our living together, our community life, becomes part of our training. Because when you live together, your stuff comes up. Okay? But you have the container of a community where everybody is owning their own stuff and where everybody's trying to work with their own mind and subdue their own anger and clinging and all this stuff. So your practice can really go, you know, in a much quicker way when you have a container like that where there's this balance between interacting with other people and doing the practice. Also at the Abbey, we're trying to really, really change a lot of our habituated attitudes in this country. For example, we think of work as work. You know, something you don't want to do, but you got to do it. At the Abbey, we call it offering service. Okay, so we don't work. We offer service. When our mind has this idea of I'm going to offer service to the community today, I'm going to offer service to the people I live with, I'm going to offer service to the broader community of people who come in contact with the Abbey, then our whole feeling about the quote-unquote work we do completely changes because it's no longer work. It's offering service. It's contributing to peace. Yeah. And so very much at the Abbey, our lives are centered on giving and on offering service. So this brings up another key principle of the Abbey, is that we live a life of generosity. Okay, so we offer service. We offer our time and energy. We don't charge for anything at the Abbey. This is totally un-American. Okay? I mean, we don't charge for food. We don't charge to stay. We don't charge anything. Because what we want is for people, we want to give to people, and we want people to get in touch with their own generous heart. Okay? So instead of people coming with the mind of, what can I get? Oh, these people don't charge anything. I want this and I want that and I want this and I want that. That's not a very spiritual mind, is it? Okay? We're very consumer-oriented when it comes to spirituality. We're always looking what we can get out of something. Okay? At the Abbey, we're trying, by our lifestyle, to give, and to bring out a sense of delight in giving in the people who visit the Abbey. Okay? And so we're hoping that by our gift, then people give to us. And in that way, instead of it being business, it becomes what somebody called an economy of generosity, where everybody shares out of the goodness of their own heart. So I think that's something very important in our country, where we're so used to conceptualizing everything in terms of how much do I pay? You know? Because there's no generosity in paying, is there? There's no delight in generosity. Yeah. But when we give, then there's so much delight, there's so much positive energy that's created through that. So this is the kind of thing we're trying to develop in ourselves and the kind of thing that we're trying to develop in other people. So this is, you know, something that's quite important to us. So, for example, at the Abbey, we eat only food that has been offered to us. We don't go out and buy food. And this is a traditional practice for Buddhist monastics. In the time of the Buddha, people would have their alms bowl, and they would go around, and people would give them food. We go on alms sometimes. Actually, I was just in West Virginia and at a monastery there. We went on alms round one day. But sometimes it's hard to do because people don't have a clue what you're doing. They don't live in the neighborhood, and you haven't told them what you're doing walking on the street with your alms bowl. So we encourage people when they come to the Abbey to bring food to the Abbey. Okay. Or to make, there's somebody who collects funds if you live far away and you know, you don't want to mail your food. It's not very cost effective. You know, you make a donation to this other person who will go out and buy the food and bring it up to the Abbey for you. Okay. So what this does in our practice as monastics is it makes us really feel how dependent we are on others and how kind others are. You know, because we're really placing our ability to stay alive in other people's hands, and people consistently come through. We haven't starved. You know? And it really makes you feel at a very deep level the kindness of others. It's really tremendous. And then, of course, when you experience the kindness of others, you know, as a monastic, as a serious practitioner, it really makes you practice more. Okay, so it really helps your practice. And then, of course, through our practice and through being able to teach others and lead retreats and do all the various activities that we do, then we repay people's kindness in sustaining our lives. Okay? So the Abbey is founded on these kinds of principles that are rather unique. You don't always find them in our ordinary life. So, I invite you to come and visit the Abbey sometime if you like. And, there's information, there's CDs. And I think I'm getting the message that
I'd love to be on. We have one more question.
Okay.
One more question, if anybody's got something.
Yeah.
Earlier you were talking about
Okay, so when there's really harmful actions done, you're saying anger isn't very useful. What can the appropriate response be? How about compassion? Yeah. The compassion does not mean that people walk over us. Compassion does not mean, oh, you beat me up yesterday. Yeah, you can beat me up again today. It's okay. That's not compassion. That's stupidity. Yeah? But compassion, what compassion does is it realizes that the mind of the perpetrator of the harm is in tremendous pain. Because when people harm somebody else, they do it because they're suffering, don't they? Think about it. Yeah? Whenever you've done something harmful to somebody else, have you done that when you're happy? Or if you do it when you're miserable? You do it when you're miserable. Nobody wakes up and says, I feel so happy and wonderful today. Let's go hurt somebody's feelings. No, we're always miserable.
So just as we're miserable, then the person who harmed us is also miserable? If we could look into their own heart and see their suffering, and see how their suffering is not really so much different than our suffering, then we can have some compassion. When we have compassion, our mind is clear, and we have a better chance of coming up with a solution to the problem that is going to work. Because we have compassion not only for the victim, but also for the perpetrator. If you read Working with Anger, it talks more about that. Take some time to develop it. Let's just sit quietly for 1 minute. I call this digestion meditation. Okay? So we just had a rich meal of the Dharma. Spend a minute and think about something that you've heard that you really want to take home with you and try and pass.